Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
We have a fully loaded show for you today with a lot of news that came out today and yesterday. One of the things is Title 42 thing that was supposed to end on Monday is not going to. A judge blocked Biden administration's plan from ending Title 42, which is a good thing, folks. One of the things we have to realize here, Trump had this whole thing figured out. We didn't have this crisis at the border. Migrants had to go through the process of like going through each country to get on their way to the United States. And in each country, they had to file for asylum there. They had to file so that they could stay there until they could get to the next country. And this is by international law. They had to do this. Biden, on the other hand, has decided, don't worry about the laws that are in place. Just come. We'll accept you. Title 42 is the only thing that's keeping them from massing all over the place and coming into our border and invading this country. And that's essentially what these people are doing. They're invading country. And anybody who talks about an invasion gets shut down. Hello, bringing it, boy. Good to see you there. Anybody who talks about anything that goes against the Biden administration gets shut down. And there, I have many clips from today's show. The first one I was going to play is about 7 minutes long, and I've got to play this because it's a good one. Puts you into the mood of what's going to be happening on today's show. Here it is.
I kid you not, that light went on 3 seconds before the show. So, here we go. The left always comes through. New lies, new lows. When they go low, they go lower. My new slogan for the left. Who could play that little slogan game? Politics can be ugly. The bloodbath, sometimes the blood sport, but in the aftermath of an awful tragedy that took place in Buffalo days ago, the ugliest politics has come out. This is when the left does what they do best or worse, they're rebranded. The blatant molesting of a moment to push their ugly agenda. When they go lower, and now the left has reached a shocking new low. The transparently political attempt to blame political opponents for the murderous rampage of Peyton Gedron in Buffalo, the left came out running to exploit that mass shooting for their political means. It's their go-to vice to come after America's guns and the Second Amendment. Predictable. But what happened next has pervaded mainstream media and leftist politics for days now. When they go lower, they go lower. And it never fails. Senate Majority Exploiter-in-Chief Chuck Schumer seized the moment to double down on Dems' new focus group tested 2022 midterm election campaign theme. That's right, MAGA Republicans.
Unfortunately, with each passing year, it seems harder and harder to ignore that the echoes of replacement theory and other racially motivated views are increasingly coming out into the open and given purported legitimacy by some MAGA Republicans and cable news pundits.
Oh, yeah, MAGA Republicans, cable news pundits. But wait, Chuck, he's not done, is he?
Every time MAGA Republicans or pundits vilify wrongly immigrants and call them invaders, every time they falsely claim that millions of undocumented people cast ballots in our elections, every time loud, bigoted voices bemoan the disintegration of an imagined classic America. The subtext is clear. These hard-right MAGA Republicans argue that people of color in minority communities are somehow posing a threat.
A threat. Way of life.
To the American way of life.
They love to bring in those invaders, those illegal immigrants, and they paint the GOP as racist for not wanting to have undocumented, potentially dangerous people pouring into our country. We looked to protect our borders and Americans, something the left clearly cares nothing about at all. Their policies show that again and again. But here's the thing. They are the ones who make everything about race.
In a few years, we're going to be a majority brown country. White people will not be the majority in the country anymore.
This will be the first generation ever in American history in which whites will be a minority of the generation at some point.
As of 2007, every year babies being born in this country, whites now are the minority.
In 2044, everyone is going to be a minority.
As the demographics change, as white people become the minority in the country, which is coming.
Demographics is destiny.
Demographics is destiny.
Demographics is destiny, right? The country is changing.
I've been saying it here. Other people have been saying it here for years now, even before Donald Trump. The demographics is destiny.
The white population is declining for the first time in history in America, while the number of multiracial Americans
isn't
more than double.
Isn't that white replacement theory right there? Isn't that exactly what they're saying? Politicians like Chuck Schumer should know better. Chuck and his leftist cohort say that the Buffalo Massacre was caused by the political opposition, rational political opposition, by the way, to unchecked immigration or pushing ballot integrity and American values, a core of the right, that those principles drove Peyton Gendron to kill 10 African Americans at a Buffalo supermarket. Gendron did descend into some ideological rabbit hole, but he's also likely mentally ill, a fact that Biden's new propaganda secretary was all too quick to dismiss hours after the shooting on Monday.
I want to also underscore that the overwhelming majority of individuals with mental health problems do not commit acts of violence.
That's fair.
And so comments that make this about mental health only further stigmatizing mental health issues and detract from the other issues like gun violence that must be confronted in our society. So just want to make that clear that we are not stigmatizing.
Did you get that? She threw gun violence in. This is hours after the shooting, and she already said, oh, no, don't make this about mental illness. It's not that. It's gun violence. She has no idea. She has no idea. And what she didn't know came out just a few hours after that. A reminder that Gendron has spoken about shooting up his high school. The school referred him to the police, who referred him for mental counseling. But he fell through the cracks. So rather than coming after guns or blaming all Republicans, the question is, why did so many fail to protect the community from a young man with mental illness who professed his will to be violent? As for Gendron's manifesto, it was filled with racist, sure, but also anti-Semitic rhetoric. But it also contained rants against conservatives. This young man was deeply troubled, and what happened was a horrible tragedy, but the idea pushed by the left that Gendron carried out a mass shooting because of anti-immigration initiatives or because of a single congresswoman or a single conservative news pundit, it strikes a new low. And it's also outright preposterous, by the way. When they go low, they go lower. And as usual, the media's massacre blame game only goes only as one way. When a deranged black man ran down white grandmothers at a Waukesha holiday parade in Wisconsin, the media very quickly turned it away from that story. It was an awful story. Where were they? And where was Joe Biden then? He didn't show up in Waukesha, but he did go to Buffalo. That worked into his busy napping schedule. When a progressive leftist, a Bernie Sanders supporter, nearly killed Congressman Steve Scalise at a baseball practice in 2017, no one with any common sense blamed the anti-Republican, often violent rhetoric of the left for the violence. It was the gun, right? It was the gun. No. There you go. Right there. It was him. Because you know who's responsible for that incident? The man who pulled the trigger, not the gun. And no Washington Post. It wasn't an SUV that drove into the people in Waukesha. It wasn't an SUV. It was the man who drove the vehicle. This is classic deflection by the racist left. In fact, white replacement theory is a feverish claim that shouldn't have a place in our politics. It promotes their obsession with race that is terrible and divisive for the country, both politically and culturally. And yet, the left keeps on doing it.
You know, and that's very true. The left keeps doing this whole thing. They keep talking about how it's the gun. No, it's not. It's the person who pulled the trigger. And like in Waukesha, they said, it's the SUV. No, it was the guy who drove the SUV through the bunch of people. And then we had this church shooting in California this last weekend. It wasn't the gun. It was the person who pulled the trigger. But because these other things are not white people doing all of this stuff, they're not interested. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to make it wall-to-wall news 24/7. They don't want to talk about it. And bring it, boy in the chat room says, Buffalo shooting smells like Sandy Hook to me. It there is so many similarities there. It's just ridiculous. And we will get to a bunch of that when the show continues.
I kid you not. That light was on 3 seconds.
But what we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no option to do.
Show me where it said that protest is supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, he can...
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. So even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said we're in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially and how they create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. Through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, you're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
You know, there are so many things about this shooting in Buffalo that has really bothered me. If you were so deranged that you just had to go out and shoot people, wouldn't you do it closer to home? Why would you go 300 miles and pick a market somewhere? And everybody's saying, oh, it's all racial because he went after black people. That's who he was trying to kill. Well, here's the problem. 10 years ago, he was going to, he put out a thing that said he was going to shoot up his high school. Now, his high school was 98% white. So shouldn't that throw a little bit of a red flag out there for this whole thing? I would think so. But Bringing It Boys says better gun laws, more strict where he was living. Probably. That could possibly be. But the very first thing that the Democrats did in absolute perfect knee-jerk reaction, guns are the problem. No, guns are not the problem. What the problem is the people who have the guns that are pulling the trigger. And they keep saying, well, we need more gun laws to keep these people from having guns. No, gun laws are already there. If they were enforced, a lot of this wouldn't be happening. And gun-free zones only cause things like that to happen. I used to work at a plant in Indianapolis. It was actually in Plainfield. And it was where Epson printers and Epson projectors repaired and refurbished Epson products. They had this big sign on the door that declared that this was a gun-free zone. I always had the feeling that somebody was going to come pouring there someday and start shooting up the place because nobody there had a gun. Nobody there could defend themselves. Even the security guards didn't have guns, which made it a wide open place for somebody to come in and start shooting up the place because nobody could defend themselves. And that's what these do is they give us all a place where we can go to be shot because nobody can stop the shooter. One of the reasons why when we hear about the shootings that get stopped by a person with a gun is because it's not necessarily a gun-free zone or you've got somebody there who has a license to carry a gun, and they see all kinds of things going on here today. Megan, one of the things that's going on is disinformation, and the government is peddling it. They're peddling it like it's truth, like it's something we all should be putting out there, and this disinformation project that they had going, this to me was absolutely stupid, because I've heard it called the truth ministry, but for the most part it was called disinformation. And maybe that was the right word for it, because that's all that came out of that. But, yeah, and Bringing a Voice is a very good point. Just a good place to go have some target practice in real time. Yeah, and that's exactly what a gun-free zone is. It's just telling the person who doesn't follow the laws that everybody inside follows the laws. They cannot go inside with a gun. So there's going to be a bunch of people in there. Nobody's going to be able to defend themselves. And if you're a wacko like this moron in Buffalo, who should never have had a gun in the first place because of all the things he had done and all the things that he had said in the past, his manifesto, which came out afterwards, but he had done many things over the past decade that told people, this guy is trouble. And yet it seems like these people constantly fall through the cracks. They'll sit there and they'll push their, you know, their ideas on us, the average American, who would never even think about going out and shooting up a restaurant or anything like this. And they push their ideas on us like we're the ones who's going to do it. But the ones who will actually do it, they let slip crack. And I'm beginning to wonder, and this seems to happen all the time. Dylann Roof, he gave off so many red flags over the years before he actually went in and shot up that church that somebody knew something was going to happen, but nobody did anything about it. This guy in Buffalo, I don't remember his name right now, and I don't care to because he's not important. All that's important is the left is pushing this kind of an agenda so that this kind of person can get away with doing the things that they do, and then Republicans and conservatives and Trump get blamed for it. I remember the last time that the Democrats were in office and the Republicans tried, you know, and or the, I always get mixed up on this one, but every time that the Democrats tried are blamed for something, after they leave office, after 6 months, they say, oh, you can't blame us for this. It's been 6 months. It's his problem. Joe Biden has been in office, fraudulently enough, he's been in office for over a year now. Shouldn't this whole thing be his problem? And I don't care what the Democrats, I know I got a few that do listen to this show eventually when, you know, usually it's not during the time that the show is on the air. Every once in a while one will come into the chat room. But for the most part, they'll only listen after the fact so that they don't get their feelings hurt because of something that's said. What about ism? Yeah. but they'll listen to the show and then maybe make a comment here and there about something that was said after the fact so that nobody can come back and say how stupid they are about it. And bringing up voice, says it's called whataboutism. That's a good one. But, you know, and there are all kinds of things that the Democrats are doing that should make people rise up and take notice here. One day after Elon Musk announces or denounces the Democratic Party, a report says that a woman has accused him of sexual misconduct. Is this an ambush? Most likely it's about the same thing as with Kavanaugh. Remember what happened with Kavanaugh? His name was pretty much drugged through the dirt over things that supposedly happened decades before. And he had to defend himself over something that it turned out never happened. This whole thing with Elon Musk now is probably about the same thing. It says, oddly, the declaration was signed by a friend of the attendant in support of her claim, the report said. The outlet said the details in this story are drawn from the declaration as well as other documents, including email correspondence and other records shared with Insider by the friend. And it's always a friend. And if the person turns out to be a woman, the Democrats are going to come out in force and say, well, if it's a woman, she's got to be believed. But let's turn this whole thing around here. If a woman came out and accused Joe Biden of improprieties, I'd probably laugh about it because I'm not sure if he'd be able to, but you know, say it was 20 years ago. The Democrats would say one of two things. That was so long ago. He's a different person now, is one. And another one is in the past. It doesn't matter what happened back then as to what happened today. Now, if it's a Republican they're talking about, then the past would matter. It's always going to be something that they will talk about. But it's completely on disinformation. The left thrives on it. And Megyn Kelly talked about it, too. Here's what she said.
Now let's bring in the great Megyn Kelly, journalist and host of the Megyn Kelly Show and a very, very dear friend of mine. Megyn, if we could start with this headline that kind of blew me away. The Rolling Stone says, quote, the Buffalo shooter isn't a lone wolf. He's a mainstream Republican. What are your thoughts to that one?
That's the most despicable thing I've seen yet, because it's blatantly taking a horrific tragedy and trying to turn it political. That's her whole goal. Her whole goal, this reporter, has been for some time to take down Republicans writ large, to blame anything bad that happens with respect to this country on the Republicans. This is a person who was fired from her job at The New Yorker for trying to malign falsely an ICE agent as having a Nazi tattoo. In fact, it was a tattoo that all the guys in his platoon in Afghanistan had to commemorate their experience there. Okay, it wasn't a Nazi tattoo, but only this sick person's mind goes there, and she got fired, rightly, from The New Yorker. She was forced out. Then guess where she landed? Media Matters, an organization founded to ruin Fox News. See how that worked out. But all they do is push false narratives from the left about the right. And now she writes for Rolling Stone a piece like this, totally dishonest and disgusting. And what you outlined in your talking points is dishonest and disgusting, too. The most outrageous part of it, though, the most outrageous, and I saw this yesterday, too, was this new press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre. And she's taken over for Jen Psaki. Mm-hmm. So when she can bother to look up from her notes, because this woman's not ready for prime time, she can't look into the camera and deliver any sort of a sentence. She doesn't get it. That seems what's clear. She doesn't seem to understand the information. So she's got to read everything. She's just, okay, these are my talking points on Buffalo. These are my talking points on inflation. And when you try to merge any of the two, she panics. She goes into sort of meltdown mode. But the most outrageous was her attempt to actually chastise. If you watch the whole exchange she had with that reporter, who asked her about the mental health issues of this shooter and was really kind of giving her a softball, like how did he get a gun given his mental health past, which is a fine question to ask. That's an okay question to ask. She took offense. She took umbrage at the question that this reporter had the nerve to inject mental health into this question, into our post-shooting analysis. I'm infuriated by it. This guy wasn't right in the head. Do you need a psychiatrist to explain that to you? There are a lot of sick people in this country, and this 18-year-old was one of them. And his past 1 year ago, June of 2021, proves it. He wanted to shoot up a school back then. That's why he got referred to law enforcement and to a mental health facility. He wanted to shoot up anybody, a group of people. It wasn't about rape 12 months ago. By 12 months later, he had been radicalized by the internet, according to his own writing, and he had turned his focus elsewhere. I'm not saying it wasn't a racist attack in Buffalo. I'm saying this is a sick, sick guy. Mm-hmm. And for her to try to say, not only should we not make this about mental health, but you will be chastised if you even raise the issue, shows they don't give a damn about getting to the bottom of this and actually preventing further shootings.
You know,
at Fox, I anchored so many of these mass shootings. Mm-hmm. I have been on the air for far too many, from Newtown to what happened in Florida and all in between. And I finally took a deep dive into it. I have three young kids. I took a deep dive into it. We have a mental health crisis in this country, not like the one she wanted to poo-poo and say, oh, well, we provided mental health services in our COVID bill. No, that's not what we're talking about. There are sociopaths in this country running around. And 9 times out of 10, there are red flags all over them. And guess what? There's no place to put them. We have no meaningful civil commitment abilities in this country because they've got been gotten rid of by the left in the name of civil liberty. What about my civil liberty? What about the civil liberties of those people in Buffalo? They don't count. So when things go wrong, what happens? They go back to their old talking points of it's the weapon, not the person wielding it. It's the Republicans, not a society that doesn't give a damn about really sick people running around threatening people and their officials unwilling to do anything about it. And in an election year, it's always worse.
Yep, and it's always going to be worse. But, you know, she was right on that. One of the things she said was it was in 2021 that he threatened to shoot up the school a decade ago. Well, it was last year, 2021. So I was wrong on that. But, you know, Megyn Kelly was right on this. With the left, it's always the weapon. It doesn't matter what the weapon is, whether it's a car, an SUV, and the SUV seems to be their favorite, or a gun. Whatever it is, you know, it's like the Washington thing. All of the reports of it said an SUV drove through the. No, it wasn't. And it was an SUV, sure, but it was being driven by a man who didn't give a damn about anybody's life. And that's where we have to start bringing ourselves in and start thinking about this, because everything that the left is doing now is telling us one thing, that they care nothing for Americans. They care nothing for our lives. They care nothing for our well-being. The only things that they care about are the terrorists and the invaders who are coming in on our southern border. And yes, I will call them invaders, because that's exactly what they are. And it doesn't matter that the left will come down on me or anybody else who says this. They are invaders. If this was a sane country, anyone rushing our border would be repelled, because that would be called an invasion. And what is coming up on our southern border is nothing less. We have ourselves right now a man running for governor, and I have an advertisement for him here, but one of the things he wants to do, Greg Abbott. Greg Abbott is building Trump's wall in Texas. He says he will complete Trump's wall in New Mexico if elected. And there's the big one right there, if. New Mexico is such a liberal state that they can't see the forest for the trees. They think that everything is fine here. Everything right now, when it comes to financially, the state's doing well. But it's only doing well because of the liberal policies that have brought in money from the federal government. When the federal government was handing out money like it was going out of style, New Mexico got a big chunk of that because of our southern border and because of what our governor was allowing in the state. And let's see here. I was trying to read what Bringing It Boy said in the chat room here. He says, right, and he didn't like that he was rich, where he said his AI feature of the vehicle made its own mind up to go and plow into those people. Yeah. I'm surprised that when the guy was stopped, he actually didn't say something like that. That would be something that the left would use as something that they would use this. But the other thing that the left is pushing on now is abortion. They don't care. This is something that we have to start realizing here. The left has realized that if they push many things at us, one time, we can't, we have our own lives to live. We can't take notice of one thing and then really take notice of another thing at the same time. We've got the border crisis, which is happening, and it's taking everybody's attention away from other things. And the other thing that's going on right now is the abortion thing. Democrats seem to think that abortion's okay no matter when it happens. This woman questioned in Congress. Listen to what she has to say.
As I noted earlier, it is a self-evident truth that all human beings are made by their Creator and endowed by Him with certain inalienable rights. The first listed in our Declaration is the right to life. Since the medical doctor here wants to deny the facts and reality, let me ask the abortion advocate, Ms. Armstede, to answer my questions on this subject. Ma'am, you testified that you are, quote, unapologetic in seeking unrestricted abortion access. So I'm wondering, at what point is it not okay to abort a child? What age of gestation?
I trust all people to determine what they can and can't do with their bodies, full stop.
Okay.
I also believe that human rights, including access to medical care that they need within their communities, is something that should be afforded everyone.
Right. Okay, so you support late-term abortion?
I support all people and trust.
That means
people.
Late-term abortion. Do you support partial birth abortion? In other words, the child is half delivered, and then the woman says, my right, I want to take that one out. You support that?
I trust people to make decisions about
their
body.
Wow. Okay. What about, so abortion should be allowed then, by your definition, for any reason, for any purpose, at any stage, right?
I trust people to make decisions about their body. And then when relevant, I think that they need to consult their medical practitioner.
Okay.
And not
if it is, listen, let me just ask you this question. If it is not lawful and morally acceptable to take the life of a 10-year-old child, I assume you agree with that, right? That would be wrong, correct?
I believe that.
Okay, and a 2-year-old child, same thing, that would be murder. We would all agree that's wrong. Then what is the principal distinction between the human being that is 2 years old or 9 months old or 1 week old or an hour old than one that is 8 inches further up the birth canal in the utero? What's the difference? Why is it okay in the latter case and not the former cases?
Trust people to determine what to do with their own body.
Wow.
Full stop.
Wow. Full stop indeed. And that describes right there exactly what this is about. There's a legal issue here, but underneath that is a moral issue. It's about reality. It's about science, the advancement of medical technology. You're talking about unborn children. And your full stop is that you will support the termination of that child at any time. And that is frightening, and that is why this decision should be turned to the popular will of the people, and hopefully they'll protect the sanctity of every single human life and live up to the standards of our Declaration of Independence. So you'll bet.
That, when I first heard that, bothered the hell out of me. As a woman, she should have thought that a baby growing in her womb, she would try to protect it. But apparently, women who think like this don't care. All they want to do is have the fun, to hell with the consequences. We can get rid of the consequences. Problem. That is nothing but murder. And all I can say about this woman is she's going straight to hell. When she dies, she ain't going to heaven. Plain and simple. We will be right back.
Reeling in the Years reminds us that we will be right back after these important messages with more of the Voice of Reason on NWCR Radio.
What we need in this nation is more veterans running for office. And here in New Mexico, we have several. One is running for governor. His name, Jay Block. He is a retired lieutenant colonel in the United States Air Force, and he is that man. He wants to bring New Mexico back from the cliff that MLG has us heading towards. He is a conservative veteran and an experienced leader, something that this state needs more of. He wants to be our governor so we can hold him accountable. Within the first 30 days, he promises to ban vaccine passports and forced vaccines from all public institutions in New Mexico. He promises to reimburse and waive all COVID fines. He promises to ban critical race theory being taught in all public institutions in New Mexico. And he wants to deploy the National Guard to the border and create a new law enforcement agency called the New Mexico Border Security Agency. As our governor, he will stop taxing our senior Social Security and our veterans' pensions. He will enact voter ID. He will enact school choice and vouchers. He will never sign any budget that has taxpayer money funding abortions. And he will never shut down your business, school, or place of worship. Folks, this is just what we have all been calling for in this mess that we have been having here. A vote for Jay Block will give us all a governor who will work for New Mexicans and not put the special interest groups in front of us because they have more money than we do. A vote for Joe Block will give us a governor where there will be no buyer's remorse, paid for by Block for New Mexico.
CNN, you get not just one, not two, but three great shows. The one I want to talk about today is Black by Color Only with Southwest Vincent Brown, based out of Durham, North Carolina. Black by Color Only is Conservative Nation Media's second show of the week on Saturdays. Right now, Black by Color Only is on hiatus until September as Vince needed some time off to spend with his family. And of course, family is important, no matter what the Democrats have to say about it. So starting again in September, Black by Color Only with Vincent Brown will be airing on Saturdays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. We can't wait for Black by Color Only to restart on Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins.
So I used the wrong one. He's on tomorrow afternoon. Okay, we are back. The call in number is 646-478-5284. Today, I started out the show by talking about this, where Title 42 was scheduled to end on Monday. And Title 42 is essentially migrants who had illegally crossed into the Rio Grande into U.S., await the arrival of the they're essentially come in, and Title 42 is stopping them. And it's essentially a pandemic health policy that was used to quickly expel illegal migrants, and the article that I got this from calls them migrants. They're not, they're invaders. But it makes it so they must remain in place, and it's supposed to end on Monday. Well, a judge ruled today in an order that blocked the Biden administration's plan to lift the restriction early next week. The administration can't appeal. The ruling sharply decreases the odds that Title 42 will not end as planned on Monday. Illegal immigrants, or illegal invaders have been expelled more than 1.9 million times since March of 2020 under the public health provision. But U.S. District Judge Robert Summerhays in Lafayette, Louisiana, ordered that the restrictions stay in place while a lawsuit led by Arizona and Louisiana, and now joined by 22 other states, plays out in court. This is actually a good thing because you've got Arizona and Louisiana, and then there's 22 other states. That's half the states right there. All I can say is it's about damn time that somebody's starting to take notice of this. Biden sure as hell isn't. He's pretty much telling the American people, I don't care about you. I'm supposed to be there to take care of you. I'm supposed to be there to keep you safe at the borders, but I don't care, and I ain't going to do it. He's kind of like one of these people who decides, well, I'm a girl today, except he decides, well, I'm the president today, but I'm not going to do anything that I'm supposed to do. I'm only going to do the things that I feel like I want to do. To heck with what I'm supposed to do. And this is something that the government is getting away with too much these days. There are specific rules and specific laws that the government is supposed to follow. And it's all laid out in the Constitution. The Constitution tells us all exactly what the government can and cannot do, what is in the government's control, what is in the people's control, what is in the state's control. It tells us all this. But for the past 100 or so years, actually it's been longer than that, it's been almost since the beginning of this country, one party has been trying to take control. And the problem rises in the fact that, okay, we've got two parties. The second party, which pretty much is keeping everything at bay right now, has the elite part of it, and I'm talking about the Republicans here, that thinks exactly the same as the Democrats do. They don't want Roe versus Wade disappearing. They don't want to try and push the idea that Roe versus Wade is overturned. Abortion is not illegal in the United States. It just goes back to the states, where the states decide whether they want it or not. And it's like I said in my show last week, all these people who are protesting the demise of Roe versus Wade have got it completely wrong. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. They keep talking about how abortion can't be made illegal. If Roe versus Wade appears or if Roe versus Wade gets overturned, they think that abortion will no longer be available in the United States, which is bunk. I don't know how many times I've heard this explained to people. And then there's a lot of people who don't even know what pro-life and pro-choice actually mean. Newsmax did a question thing where they went out on the street and asked people what they thought, whether they were pro-life or pro-choice. And one lady says, I'm pro-life. And the guy says, well, that means that you're against abortion. She says, no, I am for abortion. That means I guess I'm pro-choice. They don't know. Half of them don't know what they're talking about. And then on top of that, when they go and protest. And Jen Psaki told him, oh, it's okay to go and protest in front of the judges' residences. Just make sure it's peaceful. She was telling them to break the law. It's against the law to protest in front of. And I read the last week during my show, I read the law that actually states it's against the law to go to the residence or to a building that has the justices in it to protest in front of their residence. But Jen Psaki, go do it. That's okay with me. That is another thing that should tell everybody right then and there. The Democrats care nothing for the law. The Democrats care nothing for you. If you are an American, a law-abiding American, you're a third-class citizen to them. They do not care. And then, you know, on top of that, we have this other thing that's going on. And I keep telling you, yes, there's the left is hitting us with so many things right now. And this one just blew me away.
Welcome back to National Report. I'm Rob Finnerty. A Wisconsin school district filing sexual harassment complaints against three middle schoolers for calling a classmate by the wrong pronoun. Yes. Joining us now to discuss is attorney at the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, Luke Berg, and Rose Rabideau, whose son is being accused of sexual harassment. The story is just absolutely outrageous, but a great glimpse into where we are as a country right now. Good morning to you both. Welcome into National Report. So, Mom, we'll start with you. The student apparently prefers the pronouns they, them. Which is ridiculous in and of itself. Apparently screamed at Braden, who says his First Amendment rights are being violated. I know you got a letter from the school stating, quote, this notice is intended to inform you that a formal complaint alleging sexual harassment under Title IX has been filed by a complainant or signed by the Title IX coordinator with the district. You're being provided with this notice because you are party to this formal complaint. And we understand that Braden's terrified that he's not going to get into colleges if he's, you know, accused and charged and then convicted of sexual harassment in this situation. Take us through what's going on.
Yes, you are exactly right. This is outrageous. He was notified by the student last month, end of March, early April, that they wanted to be referred to as they, them instead of she, her. And Braden was very confused by it. He doesn't understand the plural use of it. And so we spoke about it, and what was easiest for him is to just call the student by name, which is what he was trying to do. He didn't have a lot of interaction with this person, and he actually saw his friend being verbally abused by this person, and he defended his friend and said that he did not have to use pronouns, that it was his constitutional right.
I mean, by the way, Braden's how old, 13?
13 years old, much a kid.
I'm 40. And I'm pretty darn confused by all this.
Yes.
I can't imagine what it's like for a 13-year-old middle school student. Luke, take us through what kind of case they've got here and why the school is so gung-ho with supporting this.
Well, in our view, they don't have a case at all. I mean, they're alleging sexual harassment under Title IX for, quote-unquote, mispronouncing. That's not even a word. And you're not going to find that anywhere in the Title IX regulations. You're not going to find that in their policy. You're not going to find that in the law anywhere. You know, using the so-called wrong pronoun just doesn't meet the definition of sexual harassment anywhere. You know, it appears the school district is trying to use the sexual harassment process to force middle schoolers to follow their preferred rules of speech. And that's just wrong on so many levels. It's a First Amendment violation. It's way over the top about what we're talking about, and it needs to stop. And so we're asking the school to dismiss the charges immediately, clear the boys' records, and make changes to make sure that this doesn't
happen. Have you heard from the school, Luke? Has the school said anything?
No, we haven't heard from them yet. We gave them 6 days, so until tomorrow, to respond. But, you know, given all the media attention, I sort of would have expected they would have said something sooner,
right,
but they haven't. So we'll see what they say. I hope they do the right thing. They still have an opportunity to de-escalate this, and that's what we're hoping they'll do, but we'll see.
Yeah, I guarantee you they do not like the media attention. By the way, this would be precedent-setting. This is the first case of its kind like this, so that would mean that in all middle schools, in all elementary schools, and any other school, if you don't call somebody by their pronouns, you can be charged with sexual harassment, which is just mind-boggling. Just about 15 seconds left. Rose, should the school be more concerned with just educating our kids?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They should be concerned with math, science, history, social studies, not focused on this. It has absolutely nothing to do with education, and it's ruining my son's education.
My goodness. I'm so sorry that you are having to deal with this right now. Keep us posted on the progress of this, please. Luke Berg, Rose Rapido, great having you on. Thank you.
Yeah, and that one, that is just another one of the myriad of things that the left is throwing at us. And I have a feeling that what they're trying to do is push so many things at us that something will get through the cracks and end up as part of life. To the point anymore where you can get in trouble for looking at somebody and saying, hey, I'm a guy. You're a girl. It sounds insane, and it's like bringing a voice. It is scary to know that the dumbing down of Americans didn't take that long. Maybe a little over a decade or two, at least two generations. I know when I was growing up, and I've thought about this ever since this whole kerfuffle with guys deciding, oh, I'm a girl today, so I'm going to go in the girls' bathroom. When I was growing up, that was one of the things that guys used to think about. Let's go in the girls' bathroom, see what's going on. But we were too scared to do it. But we always thought, you know, wouldn't it be cool if we could just be a fly on the wall and go in there? Or in the girls' locker room and see them all with nothing on? That would be so cool. Now they're allowing guys in just because the guy says, well, I feel like a girl today. I'm going to put on this dress and I'm going to be a girl. I'm going to go into the girls' locker room. The insanity of all of this is mind-boggling to even think it's being allowed. And I keep trying to think about when are people going to wake up, but they're awake. They are awake. You know, they're going to school board meetings and actually reading stuff that their children are being made to memorize, and the parents are being shut down for being gross and pornographic when they're just reading what the kids are being made to memorize. There was one there that I was looking at where this teacher made this little girl, where the teacher made this girl memorize this whole thing that was talking about what guys have between their legs and how she didn't like it. And the mother who was trying to read this was saying, this is grotesque and this is wrong. And the school board shut her down. First off, they shut her down and made it so that she couldn't talk about this anymore. They said, you've got 1 minute and 29 seconds left to talk. Who are they to tell her what to do? They work for her, not the other way around. And I'm really happy to see parents starting to rise up and say, this is enough. These are my children. This isn't going to happen anymore. And because the school boards and the liberal bastion of policy has happened in the United States over the last several generations, and they've gotten away with this, fighting back. And the media is right there with them.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Conservative Nation Media is growing, and what better way to grow than to bring our own Uncle Bing Fisher back with his great show, American by Design. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and his love of America back to CNM with American by Design, Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central Time on conservativenationmedia.com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media, working to get ourselves back to 7 days a week, where now we have the weekends filled, ending with one of the oldest shows on CNM, with Bing's mellow voice giving you the wisdom that America is craving today. That's American by Design on Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins. Conservatives are always fighting to find a place they can call home. And every time we find one, the leftists in this nation take that away. Well, we have a new home now, and all you have to do is go in and join. Bite Me in the Basement is that site where we can join in to get our voices heard by others who feel the same way as we do. Just join bitemeinthebasement.com and join us for a rousing discussion of American patriotism and become a member. Learn things that you can do to help America become great again, to stop the lawless things that are going on so we never have to see another fraudulent election like the one that put America-hating Joe Biden into the White House, and now he shouldn't even be there. That's BiteMeInTheBasement.com, and join patriotic Americans for a vision for a future America.
Ukrainian passenger jet gathering momentum in Tehran.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. This is Kathy Henners of Daily Roll Call, and we need more voices like Robert who aren't afraid of the wrath of the left, even when the truth is told and it doesn't fit their agenda. Now, with Biden in charge, this is more imperative than ever. From New Mexico in CNN's Freedom Studio comes the second hour of the show. And now, here again is Robert.
Okay, we are back. One of the things that I had found was bringing a boy in the chat room actually brought up replacement theory, which is one of the sound bites that I found from Newsmax, and a lot of the ones that I got today came from Newsmax, but this one here, they actually talk about replacement theory.
And the service of hate and the vicious thirst for power that defines one group of people being inherently inferior to any other group. A hate
definition, correct.
That through the media and politics, the internet, has radicalized,
correct,
angry, alienated, lost, and isolated individuals into falsely believing,
correct, both sides. On both sides.
That they will be replaced. That's the word, replaced.
Oh.
By,
oh,
the other.
Oh, went there. Did you, Joe? Oh, you went there. Mm-hmm. Because I think yesterday we pointed out that most of the replacement theory sound bites we could find were from people on the left, including you. We should all pay very close attention to the accusatory political and, quite frankly, dangerous nonsense being peddled by the left right now. It starts at the top, if that's what you call that guy, Joe Biden. Buried in what he's saying, but just under the surface, right about there, it's a blatant attack on you, on me, on all conservatives. And that is that all of us are to blame for a mass murder carried out by a clearly mentally ill, deranged young man. And not just that, but that a tragedy defines who we are? I don't know whether it's beyond legislation or beyond hope, but I do know one thing. This is who we are. I just, Willie, I do want to say that this is, I don't believe this is who America is. I do believe this is who a large segment of our society is. I do believe that Donald Trump gave a lot of people permission in their minds. Wow. Barnacle, you're an idiot. Joe, I expect more out of you. Mika, I saw you jump in bed with Barnacle. Not literally, but figuratively on that one. You guys are wrong. You can't, that's racist. You can't group a group of people into a narrative. That is racist in itself. The future home of Jen Psaki, MSNBC, right there, folks, coming through, as always. And let me tell you who you are, MSNBC, a true and consistent peddler of leftist propaganda. I'm sure Jen Psaki will fit right in quite nicely. Oh, you know who else probably needs a job? Miss Wallace. I hear he's back in the market. Might fit in right there nicely, too. But watch out, CNN and MSNBC. Watch them in the White House and the left and pay close attention. The new rebranding of the GOP includes, but not limited to, MAGA, Ultra MAGA, even better, and extreme Republicans. They call that name-calling. They think it's name-calling, but I call it a compliment. Like I said yesterday, America doesn't need a Ministry of Truth to check on disinformation. Lies are a cornerstone of the left, and we will continue to call them out right here. A board that sounds like a government fact-checker was a bad idea from the start, sure to feed public mistrust that already exists. Lies about inflation, lies about baby food shortages, lies about an entire political party, half of our country. That White House has taken too long to explain and even longer to fix anything, only laying blame and doling out lies. The very person Joe Biden hired to head up his so-called disinformation bureau, Nanny Jenkowicz, is herself a Democratic partisan with a record of defining disinformation as political facts or opinions she doesn't like, and that tells you all you need to know. Surely, if they must, the Department of Homeland Security has some other capable bureaucrats who could track foreign disinformation in an apolitical matter, wouldn't you think?
That brought me to the other thing I was going to talk about. So, and all I can think about right now is how can anyone right now support this man and his insane policies when they are destroying this nation as we know and love her, unless this is exactly what they want themselves. And even Russian television is mocking us on this. Even Russia is getting into this whole thing about Biden's disinformation thing with the disinformation King Biden pausing the Ministry of Truth and replacing Jen Psaki with Karine Jean-Pierre, or KJP, as I will call her from now on. Here is what Russia's propaganda machine is saying in mocking the new press secretary. And this is a quote. This girl will make it for a month or two. Then she'll be replaced. To our satisfaction, they'll replace her with a white heterosexual male Let's live long enough to see it. She admits to not being chosen for her professional abilities, but because she is a dark-skinned immigrant, etc., and that this will that this was secured by her predecessors. When she makes mistakes, that will be her excuse. I'm not a professional. I was chosen for other reasons, unquote. And it's like Eric Bowling on Newsmax said, ooh, they said it, not me. We can all see how bad things are getting for the Biden administration when Russian television will mock them. When we are going, when are we going to wake the hell up and stop this idiot? Apparently not soon enough. He's in Asia today. And what is he going to say there to hurt America further? I can tell you right now, he screwed up the name of the president of Korea or wherever the hell he is today. The things that this man is doing to America is total destruction. And all I can say is it's about time the people are finally starting to rise up. But why did it take us so long? And why is there still 39% of the people who supposedly support him? The only thing I can think of is that maybe they still support him because this is exactly what they want. They want the destruction of this country. They do not want America to be the beacon of light that Reagan always said it was. Before Trump, it had been a long time since we had had a president that actually had glowing terms and glowing phrases when talking about America. Obama, he just wanted to fundamentally change America, and he's still in the background doing it. Mark my words, he's part of this whole thing. And it's just like Sergeant Chatroom says, lies and projection. That is the most, if not all, of the progressive left's rhetoric. And that's exactly it. Everything that they talk about is lies. Everything that they talk about is projection. They do something wrong, they get blamed for it, they blame somebody else. It's always projected on somebody else. They're still blaming Trump for the troubles they're having. They would never allow that if the Republicans tried to blame them for something that had happened during their administration, and it was now at least 6 months farther into another administration. They'd say, no, it's not our problem. But it's like Sarge says in the chat room, Psaki was a particularly devious liar and sophist or sophist. I must admit, a factual, a facial one, and one as effective as could be for such a thoroughly corrupt and corrosive regime as the Biden administration. KJP is that while being utterly inept and inadequate. And she, one of the things that I keep seeing about her is that she never looks up. And the one time that she did, she was actually talking directly to a reporter and admonishing him for something that he had every right to ask. But she looks down at her paper and reads like they would lose their minds trying to figure out what they're trying to say if they didn't read it. And the source says, don't forget they have Putin to blame too. The problem with Putin is that things started going to hell in a handbasket before Putin did anything. We knew it was going to happen sooner or later. But things started to happen the day that Biden took office. Actually, and Bringing It Boy says she has lying eyes. She does. And then I think in some of her outfits, she likes to wear them low cut enough that you don't look at her eyes. Oh, that was wrong in so many ways. I don't know. But let's see. Yeah, Sarge says KJP ought to paint eyes on her eyeshadow so as to jive the audience into thinking that she is actually looking at them. Yeah, and there's been comedy routines about this too, but it's there are so many things that are going on right now that just blow my mind that this kind of thing is being allowed. We, you know, Bringing a Boy a little while ago said that it just amazes him that it only took two generations for this insanity to be here. And it's actually been longer than that, but since this whole thing really started to snowball on us, it's happened really fast. But the Democrats have been very methodical in the way that they do things. When they first started to push their agenda, they would push it just so far because they knew just how far they could get away with, and they would push it just right, just a little past that, and then they'd back out. Then the next time they'd push just a little bit farther, then they'd back off. Then the next time they'd push just a little bit farther. Now they're pushing like they're taking whole gobs of information and just blasting right past the last time and going so far that people are sitting there scratching their heads trying to figure out what the hell is going on here. And it seems like every time they come out with something new, it's so far beyond what they did the last time that they're losing all semblance of reality. They actually have none. They actually have none. And it really bothers me that I can do a show like this and find so little to talk about that is good for America. One of the things that I found today, this was really an interesting article. Back in 1977, we launched the probe, space probe, Voyager, let me see, I'm trying to find it now, Voyager 1. It was launched in 1977, and right now they've got an article in Western Journal that talks about how it is sending back information that's not possible for it to originate. And it says, the article starts out by saying, you're driving along, check engine light flashes amber on your dashboard. Your engine is in no danger at the moment, but you have to get that examined before a real problem develops. Imagine your vehicle is nearly half a century old and is a spacecraft operating at the edge of the solar system. Houston, we have a problem. Or more correctly, NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Southern California has one. It's because this probe, Voyager 1, launched in 1977, is sending data that's not possible for it to originate. A mystery like this is sort of par for the course at this stage of the Voyager mission, according to NASA project manager Suzanne Dodd. Essentially, all is well on Voyager. Commands are being performed when received after a two-day interstellar space delay, and apparently the radio antenna is still properly aimed at Earth. But the probe is sending weird messages about its control systems that could not possibly show what's actually happening. I had a thing cover up my thing here. That's actually happening on board. And it looks like Voyager is happy with it, not having set off any systems for fault protection. It's just sending out telemetry that apparently has been randomly generated. NASA will keep an eye on the problem, speculating that some system inside the spacecraft is originating the strange signals. If the source remains a mystery, NASA may initiate some changes in software or fire up some of the probe's backup systems. Something like that happened in 2017 when the space agency switched from declining primary thrusters to secondary ones. Voyager was never designed for such a lengthy mission. We're also in interstellar space, a high radiation environment that no spacecraft have ever flown before. Also remarkable is that Voyager 1 is cruising along using 1970s technology. It's 14.5 billion miles from Earth, according to a space status website, further than any other space vehicle has gone. Now, this in itself is actually pretty amazing to me, and it kind of brings back the humanity of what is going on. But Voyager 1 was launched in 1977, and it's still going out there. This just blows me away. And it's 14 billion miles away from Earth now. And they're still communicating with it, with 1970s technology that is still working. This, to me, is pretty cool. And let's see, I'll go back here what I was talking about. Sarge says, Victor, a.k.a. Victor Davis Hanson, opines they are trying to negate or to destroy the middle class. And I've heard him talk about this a lot, and I actually think that that's really what they are trying to do. If that's our money floating out there in space, creating random messages. That's, you know, I found a cartoon the other day that kind of went along with this one, and it showed this little robot that was made for doing things around the house, and how if you don't do what you're supposed to do, it'll throw a temper tantrum. And then it shows 10 years down the road, and it shows this little robot has grown into this giant thing that's shooting lasers at people. So, I don't know. And Sarge says this other thing, too, that is really interesting, you know, that we really have to think about her. He says, just think, no home ownership for young aspiring couples, no meaningful job prospects, and this is all coming, folks. You don't think it is, it's coming. As long as we keep putting Democrats into office, and I'm including the Republicans too, we have to get rid of the rhinos, we have to get rid of the GOP elite, because they think the same way as the Democrats do. But he says, no meaningful job prospects, massive student debt derived from the pursuit of worthless degrees, citizenship rendered meaningless by waves of illegal aliens or illegal invaders, a life of Julia and Jules with cradle-to-grave socialism, all of it ruled over by elites. And there's the Democrat Party and the GOP elites, and entrenched bureaucrats with autocratic power. And then he ended that with, don't forget the Great Reset is coming. Do you see where this is all going, folks? Do you see where this is all going? If think about it, it's scary. It's like the Orwell's 1984. Orwell, I think that's who wrote it, 1984, the Big Brother. Don't you see that's what we got today in our government? It's there, folks. All we got to do is look, open our eyes to see what is going on. That's all we have to do is just open our eyes and then keep them open for long enough to be able to see what is happening. And it's happening right before our very eyes. All we have to do is look. And it... The amazing part about this whole thing is yeah, that's a good one. I said make 1984 fiction again, not an instruction manual. Absolutely right. You know, but it seems like we come up with all of these fiction stories that become classics. And if they have anything to do with the future and how either America has been destroyed or the world has been destroyed because of America, that is what the Democrats and what the elitists and the oligarchs in power decide, that's the direction we're going. And we have to do it my way or that's where we're going to go. And it's changing everything. And even the way that Americans are buying things are changing now because of the way things are going. And the government's ideas of this is saying that the retail things are great. Stores are really doing good. But really, are they? Here's what's going on.
Just about 30 seconds left. Yesterday, Wall Street said that Americans have shifted their buying habits in the 16 months that Joe Biden has been president from buying things that you buy this time of year normally. You know, think about grills, cars, electronics. They're now saving that money for things like gas and groceries. Is this the biggest issue come November?
It's a huge issue. And, you know, I think it was the Wall Street Journal headline yesterday saying retail sales were way up. And it's like, yeah, retail sales are up because people have to pay more to buy things.
Right.
It's not like we're getting more things. It's just we're paying more for the things that we're buying. And so you're right. People have what's really problematic is that the essentials that you buy, the gas, the home heating bills, the travel expenses, the food prices, those are, by the way, people get angry at me when I say inflation is only 8%. Most Americans on the vital things they have to buy are paying 20% inflation.
Yeah.
So it's worse than the numbers are even suggesting.
And that's what Americans are really having problems with right now. Is it like Wall Street Journal said that the projections from the stores are that they're doing really great, that the they're really been busy. Not necessarily. Things just cost more. We will be right back.
We will be right back with more of NWCR's Truth Festival. Stay tuned. Luis Sanchez is a native New Mexican who grew up in the South Valley of Albuquerque in a traditional Hispanic family. Luis worked his way through high school as a maintenance man, cleaning bathrooms, and mowing grass at Putt-Putt Golf. He put himself through college washing dishes. Luis was proud to become the first of nearly 40 cousins to graduate from college, earning his degree from the University of New Mexico. His family instilled in him the value of hard work, integrity, compassion, and personal responsibility, and those are principles that still guide his steps today. Louis is running because he is tired of our state being first on all the worst lists. Louis and his wife of 25 years, Kathy, believe in God and follow his directions in all their decisions. Louis is running because he believes people should come before politics, something that most politicians here in New Mexico and around our country do not believe in. If you want to join the Sanchez team, go to Sanchez for New Mexico. That's sanchezfornm.com/meet-Louis and sign up to help him win. Our Senate needs more men who believe in the laws of America and follow the Constitution. That's Louis Sanchez for Senate. Give him your vote so he can work for you. As the technology of drones constantly grows and things get easier and easier to do, the cameras on the drones available are better too. So much so that mapping and surveying is now done with drones. That is the one area that Eye in the Sky Drone Services comes into play. You need your roof scanned out for work to be done up there? Call Eye in the Sky Drone Services. You need land photographed from the air? You need to call Eye in the Sky Drone Services. We can even do weddings from a perspective not seen anywhere but in the movies. All in 4K and full color, unless you wish to do your videos in sepia tone or even black and white. We can even go into the oil field and take photos out there of oil rigs and pipelines too. That is Eye in the Sky Drone Services out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Email us at eyeinthesky@gmail.com or call us at 505-317-8741. Give us a call because we can do it all, because the sky is the limit. Okay. I went and typed something and it took me right off of where I was. Now, bringing a boy in the chat room said that a lot of companies also count on loss and prevention to cover their losses. Well, Target quarter, I guess, lost about 25%. I think they said something like that. Now, I'm glad that typos count today because I make a lot of them. It's one of the reasons why I don't talk in the chat room too much when I'm actually doing things on the show, because talking and typing, I'm not really good at doing both. I guess when I try to type, my mind tries to say what I'm typing or something like that, but I always kind of screw up. Another person that I listen to a lot is David Harris Jr. And he says things that I feel uncomfortable about saying, because being a white person in this country these days, if you say something against blacks or push keeping things the same, you're expressing white supremacy, white supremacy or racism. But David Harris Jr. is a black guy, and I listened to his show. He's got a podcast, and he was talking about this.
You know, I'm here to weigh in, host of the David Harris Jr. Show and podcast, David Harris Jr. David, just weigh in on this, on the mainstream media's jump to this replacement theory. Now, I know the point of finger Tucker at Fox, I think some of the stuff he says is kind of outlandish, but we went yesterday and dug up a whole bunch of replacement theory sound bites that were delivered from people on the left, and that was just yesterday, and wasn't too hard to find.
No, not too hard to find, Eric. You know, if the American people that are still watching CNN, MSNBC, all these left-leaning liberal propaganda networks, if they are still gobbling up all this race-baiting just garbage at this point, I don't know that there's any hope left. Because for me, when I see this, I get just absolutely tired of seeing them do the same thing. I think it must be an election year. How can they spin something to make it all racial? And obviously this seems like it was racial, but what about the black guy, the black supremacist that mowed down all those people in his car? Did Joe Biden show up there? What about the church in California just last week that was targeted by a Taiwanese? Did Ted Lieu get out and say anything? He didn't even tweet anything about the entire ordeal. Yet when it's a white person that takes action, evil, demonic action, all of a sudden our entire country is racist. It's insanity.
Well, that's the part, Dave. There's the leap. And, yeah, he may be a complete, absolute white supremacist racist, this shooter in Buffalo. But you can't go and say just because he's white, all white people are racist. Or just because he's white, Trump supporters are the cause of this, or Tucker Carlson, or whomever. That in itself is the very definition of racism, lumping a group of people into a category just because of the color of their skin.
Yeah, that's racism 101, and that's exactly what everybody on the left continues to do. They've even done it to Elon Musk. I mean, they're calling him a white supremacist. He's actually a South African. He's from Africa. He's a white guy from Africa, but he's got to be a racist too. The narrative just doesn't stop.
He's African American.
He doesn't stop these people. Anybody that they don't agree with, anybody that's a target to their narrative of trying to paint this country the greatest country in the history of the world, the country that is given and afforded more minorities, more opportunity for success, for growth, for development, for freedom than any country in the history of the world, they want to attack that narrative. They want to squash that narrative. And they want to create victims out of everybody that looks like me or has darker skin and create the, you know, all you that look like you. Well, you're the bad boogeyman. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
And hopefully, just like most everything
else,
it's getting tiring. It blows up in their face.
David, it's getting tiring. White conservative single, white conservative straight. It's like we're blamed for everything. David Harris Jr., really appreciate your time. Thanks for being here again.
You know, Sarge brought up a good point. He says the reason that they do that is to intimidate us into shutting up. And it works. I know there's been a lot of times when I've listened to Vincent's show on Saturday. And I love listening to his show because him being a black guy, he will say the things that need to be said. And they can't say, well, you're racist for saying that. And no, he's not. He's just watching what is going on. And I listen to him, and I think Sarge ends up on that show too. His show will be on tomorrow. And it's called Black by Color Only. I love that show, and he tells it like it is. He doesn't care what is going on. And I hope that my mic is still working. But what they do is, you know, they'll give false accusations, like Sarge says. False accusations of racism is today's last refuge for a scoundrel. I couldn't have said that better myself. That is really great. But that is exactly what the left is doing. They will look at somebody who's actually trying to say the right things, and they did this to Trump. And thanks, bring it, boy. They did this to Trump. The whole time he was in office, they were trying to impeach him. They were hitting him with P-gate. Remember that one? They were hitting him with the Russian collusion thing. And it's come out today in that trial that's going on, that Hillary Clinton, even after she found out that this was not true, signed off to have it put out into the media. So hopefully this will go against her. This, if all of these people who had anything to do with what was going on during the time that Trump was in office should be prosecuted for what they did. I seriously doubt if it'll happen, but it's nice to see things heading a little bit in that direction. America has been pretty much destroyed when it comes to what this country was founded. The Democrats have pretty much destroyed this country just over the last 20 years. And the Republicans have allowed it. Sure, most of the time they haven't been in power. But when they were, they didn't do anything to stop what was going on. And they keep talking now that when they take power back, they're going to go after the people who did all this stuff. I'll hold my thoughts on that one, because I'm looking at what has happened in the past. They might do a little bit, but they won't do everything. Almost every president that I can remember, all the way back to Reagan and even before, talked about putting up a border wall. But who did it? Trump. He got 450 some miles of it built before they took him out of office. And the Democrats are now talking, we're talking about a month ago, about dismantling it. All the equipment and all of the supplies out there for doing the wall is still laying there. It could still be done. Greg Abbott is down in Texas, is actually using Texas money to build the wall across Texas. And Sarge says there are just a few of the things that the left is saying are racist, punctuality, objectivity, rationality, and scientific method. Intact nuclear families, good diction, sobriety, restraint, abstinence, honor, integrity, and most of all, fidelity to the Constitution. That's absolutely right. And those were actually only a few of the good things part of the United States, and they're saying that all those are racist. Everything that was good in America, if you look at it, the left has decided is either racist, white supremacist, and if it's not either one of those things, it's bad for America. And one of those things that they consider bad for America now is our Constitution and our laws. They don't want to follow either one. A couple summers ago when BLM was running around in Minneapolis and Seattle and Portland and destroying cities all over the place, and no one was being arrested. In Seattle, they even set up a little fenced-off area where the police were not even allowed. And I've talked about little things like this over the years that I have done this show. One of the things that I got from Daily Roll Call, Kathy Hinners, who does my intro for the second part of this show. She does has a site called Daily Roll Call. And one of the things that she is constantly talking about is the Muslim influence into the United States and the terrorists that are actually here. It's like, yep, like holy water being thrown in their face. And the last time I talked about this, there were like 29 separate camps all over the United States where jihadists were being trained. Here in the United States. And in these camps, local law enforcement is not allowed. But people outside these camps are always hearing gunfire. And it's things that, you know, and I've always just been somebody who would watch the news. And when I got my computers, I started thinking, well, there's got to be more to the news. And I started looking and started watching, found Rush Limbaugh. I listened to him for years and years and years. But because of what he did, we've now got places like the Western Journal, Newsmax. Here in New Mexico, we got the Pinion Post and the Conservative New Mexican. Other than the Albuquerque Journal, those are the only things in this state that actually give you any news. The Albuquerque Journal is like the New York Slimes. It won't tell you the truth unless they're forced into it, if it goes against Biden. I remember when Trump won the election in 2016, the headline, Trump won. It was not in big, bold letters. It was not huge. It was just a headline. Like, oh, this is something that's not really important, but we'll report it anyway. But when Trump was taken out of office, oh, my God, I hadn't seen a headline that big in years. It was like, this is the greatest moment in history. Trump is no longer president. Biden wins the White House. And it was huge. I mean, it had to have been at least 230 point words in big black bold letters. That's the kind of publication Albuquerque Journal is. It's just like the New York Slimes. Thankfully, I look on the computer and find things that will give me a better perspective of what is going on. One of the things that I actually thought was really cool was a bishop for the Catholic Church in San Francisco officially barred Nancy Pelosi from receiving Holy Communion for her support of abortion. All I can say is it's about damn time. I'm glad that he did it. But where has the church been on this whole thing over the last couple of years? They've been totally silent. Nothing has been said. Now, bringing up, boy knows that I go to a church here in Albuquerque called Legacy, and our pastor is constantly doing his rants against the governor, against Biden, against what the government is doing to this nation. But where has the church been? And another thing, Bring Up Boy says, you may think I'm crazy. A great way to get news is Democracy Now. And, you know, with, I can't think of his name, Morris. And I get that on my Newsmax TV. But one of the things that came out today, and I had just kind of brushed over this a little while ago about Hillary Clinton signing off on Sussman is under on his trial. And this came out about this.
Reports out of the Hillary Clinton lawyer trial, Hillary Clinton agreed to leak allegations to the media that the Trump Organization had a secret communications channel with Russia's Alpha Bank.
Our national correspondent Logan Raddick is outside the Washington, D.C. courthouse with details. Logan?
Well, Katrina and Bob, good afternoon. And Robbie Mook, who is the 2016 campaign manager for Hillary Clinton, says part of the purpose for leaking that allegation to the media was to have a reporter track down that story and, quote, vet it out. Now, the discussion with a senior campaign staff, according to Mook, said that the Hillary Clinton knew as well that she signed off. She agreed to have this allegation leaked to the press. Now, Michael Sussman is the individual on trial here. He is the former Clinton campaign lawyer who's charged with lying to the FBI. And James Baker yesterday testified, the former top lawyer for the FBI, that Sussman had told him that he was not working on behalf of any client. So now we know, obviously, that Sussman was working on behalf of Hillary Clinton, but he also lied about his work for her. And now we know, according to Hillary Clinton's former campaign manager, that she was the one who signed off on this leak to the press. And now this 2016 tweet from Hillary Clinton is now part of the evidence where she put out a statement about this allegation between Trump and Alpha Bank, which we know has now been debunked. So this is a big twist here in D.C. in this trial of Michael Sussman. It's a big black eye for the Clinton campaign and for Hillary Clinton herself.
And that's where I came off earlier when I talked about this, and I said that chances are it won't go any farther than this. Clintons, for some reason, seem to be democracynow.org. Okay, thank you for that one. I'm going to have to find that one. So we'll put that into my, and I just brought that up. It says the site can't be reached, but I'll find it. Thank you. But one of the things that was said about this was that Hillary Clinton at the time, before she signed off on this to have it put out into the news, found out that it wasn't true. But she did it anyway. This should get her in trouble. But I seriously doubt if it will. And if it does, I'll be really surprised. But it's it's actually been tonight a better show than I've had in quite a while, because, you know, it's like I was saying last week, I was still kind of feeling under the weather, so I didn't do too much of a show. The week before, I totally missed it because I got sick a couple of hours before the show started, and I had to hurry up and cancel and reschedule it for Friday, and then tried to keep it so that I could possibly maybe come in on Monday if I felt better. But for some reason, I just really got sick, and I'm not exactly sure what hit me, but it had to have been stomach flu or something, because I had a headache and my stomach was really upset. So, but I'm feeling a little bit better this week, so I decided I'd try and get my show in the way I normally would try to do it. Tomorrow night or tomorrow evening at 5 p.m. Eastern is Black by Color Only with Vincent Brown. That he, I promise, is always a good show. And hopefully on Sunday, if Bing can, he's had all kinds of problems going on in Tennessee where he's at, family stuff and stuff like that. So he hasn't done his show, but hopefully before long he can get his show going back again. And his was on Sunday. I think it's 10 p.m. Eastern, and it's usually only an hour, but it's a good thing. I'm glad I'm feeling better too. I hate being sick. There is nothing worse in the world than feeling sick, especially when you want to do things and you don't feel like even getting out of bed. but I'm glad my microphone worked tonight. I'm glad that all of my things that I had set up for the show worked tonight. I'm glad that Sarge was here. I'm glad that you were here bringing a boy. One of these days you got to bring your wife in. I've got it there because she's always an informative person to talk to about the Constitution. I'm going to be trying to get Douglas V. Gibbs in, who is out of California. He's the Constitution guy. He does a show on a radio station out there. And I'd like to get him on here one of these nights to talk about the Constitution and why it is important to America as something we need to kind of hold on to, and why having our border closed off is a good thing too. I'm glad you were there, Sarge. Thanks for the compliment on there. I will be around tomorrow because I want to listen to Vince's show, because he's always got a good one going. But we will be back next week. Starting on Monday, I'm going to start doing my updates again. This last week, I think I did one on Monday and Tuesday, and then I didn't do any more because I was just wasn't feeling good. But starting on Monday, I'm going to have my update again, which usually ends up on Rumble and BitChute and Brightian. And I'm also doing it on UGE Tube now. So my updates are there. Ever since I lost my account on YouTube because of the things that I say, I've been looking for another place to put it, and I found it on UGE Tube. UGE Tube is also where you can see, where you can also see 2000 Mules, which was put out by Dinesh D'Souza. And that is a good movie to watch. I've seen it, and my wife hasn't. She wants to see it, and I've got it on my computer so we can watch it tonight if she wants. But I'm glad that you guys were all here. God bless you. God bless America. And we will be back next week. And have a great weekend, guys. God bless you all.